All right, we got a very special day of gaming here today. I am Alex of the Four Corners Games podcast, for those of you who do not know me, but I am joined by a couple of special guests from their very own podcast. Y'all want to say hi?
Hello.
Hello.
Ian, and Ian say is hi. Quiet.
There's a third one in there somewhere.
Hello. I said hi.
Say hi.
What?
I said it at the same time as Anna. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear you say anything.
So for those wondering, that is Ian, Owen, and Anna, though they have said each other's names a couple of times over each other. Where are you all joining us from? What lovely podcast?
We're from the Not Presently Deceased podcast.
Yes, Not Presently Deceased, Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast, which is a really long name.
Now that I think about it.
NPD.
NPD for short.
Perfect. And then, again, we're Alex and
Paul. Yeah.
Nailed
Paul.
It. We're killing it with the naming, guys. Honestly.
Well, yeah. You went from you to them, and I didn't know you were coming back.
I was looking at you. Yeah. I was using visual cues that our audience wouldn't pick up on, but now they know. But we're excited. We're all joining each other across feeds to play a little game called Starfinder.
Across international lines, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Timelines, like, because they're, like, on the East Coast, and we're in the mountains.
Yeah.
Mountain Standard Time, the coolest-sounding time zone. Like, Greenwich Mean Time, no one wants that.
Yeah.
Who cares about that time?
Shit's weak, UK.
Yeah. Stupid.
It's got anyone. Greenwich in the name. Jeez.
Yeah. Greenwich? You can't fool me. Yeah.
No. It's like a sandwich, but it's green.
Exactly.
Indeed.
It smells green.
Oh.
Do you have that disease where, like, you can, like, green. Taste and smell colors?
Yeah.
Disease.
Yes.
I can see
it's
sound.
It's not a disease.
Maybe it's not a disease.
Disorder.
Ah, yes,
disorder?
The disease.
Well, I don't know. Maybe someone's life is a nightmare because they look at an orange pillow and it tastes like acid, and then they, like, fall to their knees because of, like, the orange acid taste in their mouth.
Fuck,
it could be hard.
Orange. This orange pillow, it tastes like acid.
Oh,
I'm just picturing someone licking a pillow now.
you can do that without synesthesia.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sure someone in the world has made a flavored pillow.
I would rather
I
not.
I bet you not.
Someone's doing it right
I mean,
now.
Someone could technically make a flavored pillow by accident.
Someone made bacon smelling underwear, so someone will have made a flavored pillow, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I've seen Paul accidentally spill beer on a pillow, so technically that makes it a beer-flavored pillow.
Beer-flavored pillow, happens. There you go.
Yeah. And then he forgets about it, and 2 weeks later, it's a mold-flavored pillow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I found a basil-flavored pillow. I found a, what the heck?
Are you Googling it right now?
Yes.
Oh.
We needed answers, and Ian is getting us those answers.
I don't need sleep. I need answers.
I would understand
if there was I'll do you one better. There's a vodka flavored pillow.
Oh, why?
Why?
Vodka.
Why? Vodka, that's by the good. Food and Drug Administration regulations, is supposed to be odorless and flavorless. So it literally just tastes like burning because that's all alcohol tastes like. That's a complete nonsense pillow. And again, back to my original point of pillows tasting like acid. See?
We
call
go.
That
you can just
homogeny.
Click it right back.
It's beautiful.
Oh, man.
It's all coming full circle now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all coming together.
Good recording, everybody. What were we here before to do?
Oh, I don't remember anymore.
Anyways, this is Pillows and Tastes, the only podcast where we see what pillow tastes the best.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That needs to be a thing now.
I bet you it is. There's like 6 episodes somewhere, but they exist.
Rule number one. What's
rule number one?
I'm looking for it now.
Oh, no, there's a rule of the internet.
Cardio?
What's the rule of the internet that no matter what it is, you will find it on the internet?
Oh, I know
that's
rule
a different
34,
rule.
But that's like a different rule.
That is a different rule. No. I'm confused.
There's probably a rule that's like that, but like less...
Less.
Maybe rule 33. Let's say it's rule 33.
Rule 33. If it exists, you'll find it on the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
I like our more tame version of that rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
far less icky.
Yeah.
Oh, so, God, I just Googled that.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
You Googled Flavor Pillow, the podcast? Flavor Pillow cast?
They are very popular.
Oh, good to know.
We're in the wrong market.
Yeah, we're in the wrong market. Or are we just getting in to the right market? Yeah.
Brought to you by Flavor Pillow.
If there's, we'll get another cease and desist for that one. So you guys wanna hang out in space?
Yeah, I want to play some games. I want to roll some dice.
Yeah, let's roll some dice in space.
I'm going to just like.
Would you be able to roll a dice in space?
Yes,
it'll roll continuously forever.
It wouldn't stop. But yeah, once you apply some sort of torque to a surface in a frictionless vacuum without gravity, it will turn ad infinitum.
Yeah. Like your dead body floating infinitely through space.
Wow.
Sounds like
that
fun.
That was dark.
Yeah.
So dark. Anyways.
Well, let's play it.
Not happy note.
Also, for the record, we're still rolling dice in space. We are just rolling it on a planet, which is hurtling through space. So, like, technically, you're always dice in space.
Just in a gravity well. In a gravity well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Obviously.
All right.
So
Mr.
you find folks.
Thank you.
Oh.
I'm just a normal biologist. That's all I got.
I'm just majoring in I'm not an astrophysicist.
I plan on
yet.
Licking rocks.
You know what? Licking rocks is actually the best thing.
I know.
Just want to let you know that. It's
igneous.
Like, I took a whole course on it, and they're like, you can tell the rock based on how you lick it and what the flavor and the texture
is. I thought you were joking,
like.
But now I'm starting to believe you.
No, this is actually
a
horse.
One day, Owen came into my room, and we were talking, and then Owen said, like, yeah, I need to go to sleep. I'm licking rocks tomorrow.
Yeah, no, they have a whole test. There's a test where you need to identify the rocks in the earth science course that I took, and half of it involves licking the rock. You have to lick it to be able to tell the difference between it and another one.
Do they have, like... a palate cleanser between rocks to like some pickled ginger to
make sure to lick your basalt between rocks, children. Yeah, that way,
smell some coffee beans to really cleanse the palate.
Yes.
This is digressing so fast.
Okay,
this
no
isn't
more,
digressing.
No more talk about
this is progressing.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. All right. Just going to edit all this out.
No, this is gold.
No.
This is comedy gold.
This is, or better yet,
I edit it so it makes no sense. Like, it's just, like, there's a long pause between us introducing ourselves and Owen going, I like rocks. And then I cut to the start of the adventure.
Everybody, introduce yourselves. Yeah. I'm Anna. I like rocks.
Is he okay? I don't know.
I think he had a stroke when we started.
Yeah. Oh, heavens. Heavens to Betsy.
You know what you signed up for, Alex.
I did. To be fair, it was co-signed up between Owen and I.
Oh.
Yeah,
so I blame Owen. I blame half of him as well.
Half of everything that goes wrong is my fault.
Everything on Earth that goes wrong is half Owen's fault.
Blame Owen.
That's impressive. He's like the Illuminati.
Exactly.
All right. Let's do this.
So, you brave space adventurers, you find yourself floating in space. Don't worry, though. You're floating in space on a space station. Now, this space station is the best known space station in all of Starfinder. It is known as Absalom Station. The four of you are all new Starfinders, having joined for various reasons, waiting for your moment in the sun. As you've been milling about on the station, doing your day-to-day things, you all get an alert to meet at Venture Captain Arvin's office in the Lore Spire complex. You find yourself at reception, and you are ferried into his office. You see a large, fairly thin Lashunta man sitting there, and he beckons you to sit down in each of the chairs in front of him. He goes, thank you for arriving so quickly. As I mentioned in my Cobb messages, we have a most urgent opportunity to recover some critical information. Several months ago, a crew of Starfinders took a ship called the Unbound Wayfarer. into the vast to explore a series of uncharted planets. They never returned. Earlier today, a Vesk pawnbroker in the down-low neighborhood contacted us, offering to sell us several Starfinder insignias. These insignias belong to the lost crew of the Unbound Wayfarer. And that immediately caught the Society's attention. The pawnbroker, named Julza Kama, doesn't realize the true value of these insignias. We negotiated a purchase price in exchange for the insignias and information about the sellers. We hope this seller can lead us to the Unbound Wayfarer and its crew. We remotely transferred the requested credits to Julza Kama. Now, we need you to collect the insignias and all the information you can from this Vesk regarding whoever sold him the insignias, and then track down the sellers. Learn where to find the Unbound Wayfarer and its crew. I'm worried that the seller might not be on the station for long, so please, act quickly. If you have any questions, please make them fast.
So I'm assuming we know where the... like, our characters know where on the space station this area is?
You are familiar, perhaps, with the down-low neighborhood of Absalom Station, but not necessarily where Julza Kama is.
Okay.
Is there any specific place we can find him?
Well, he owns a pawn shop. It's called Julza Kama Loans, and perhaps you can find him there.
That seems appropriate.
Well, he is of a shady sort.
Nothing I haven't had an issue dealing with in the past?
Question mark?
I think I messed that up a little bit. Nothing I have had issues dealing with in the past. There we go.
Well, good. It seems that we have the right people for the job, then. Do you have any further questions for me?
Not that I can think of. Not off the top of my head.
I have none.
All right. So if I could go ahead and have Paul, who's playing Nadim, you want me a culture check for that question as well?
Okay. I don't have culture.
You don't have culture?
No.
Yeah, so you're not entirely sure, but you're confident that you might be able to make your way down there. So he stands up.
I do beckon. Actually have profession bounty hunter, which I took instead of culture, because they're like kind of overlap in some way. Like knowing people, places, things a little bit.
You know what? I'll do that. The DC will be a little higher, but go ahead and roll that for me.
Ooh, natural 18. 22.
Yeah, you not only know who Julza Kama is, but you actually know exactly where he is. He runs a loan shop, but I say that with heavy quotation pauses in my voice. Because he does all manner of backdoor dealings, and you've probably gotten a mark or two from him in the past.
Right.
I know this man. I've seen where he is. I'll take you all there.
Excellent.
Very nice.
All right, then.
So you all make your exit out of the office, out of the Lore Spire complex, and head towards the down low. As you approach... although some of the areas of the neighborhood are clean and trendy, the narrow alley of the concrete and metal buildings that you turn off into to head towards Julza Kama drips with oil and has various sparking wires. Above a door, a wide red neon electric sign reads the words Julza Kama's Loans. On a building sandwiched between a Kuthite sensation house and a derelict building covered with graffiti, the shop's solid metal door contains a single small window, too grimy to peer through.
Too grimy from the inside, I assume? We can't, like, rub it clean?
There's the glasses on the other side of the bar, so you have to reach through
and
kind of try and clear.
Okay.
We could just go in.
We're just going to go?
Yeah. Yeah, so you approach the door, and you move to open the lock, Anna, and... it turns, and you can't seem to open it.
That's very rude of it. So you know how to pick locks?
I may be of assistance. What kind of check would picking locks be?
Be a sleight of hand check.
Sleight of hand? I am trained in that.
All right.
So I'm going to... try and pick this lock.
You go to pick the lock and realize that there is no traditional tumbler or key system. There isn't even a keypad. It is just a solid metal knob on a steel door.
All right, that's...
So it's it is not locked.
But
I think it's
locked from the inside.
I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do with doors in normal circumstances when you're not in a D&D game and you approach a place you're trying to get into.
We could knock.
You could.
Who wants to hit the door? Just.
Knock it over. What's the fun in knocking
okay.
it?
No, just
roll to knock.
Who wants?
I'm gonna get a 60-foot charge going.
I got a 3. How does my knock go?
You miss the door and you actually hit the wall next to it.
Sad knock.
AC 5.
Oh dear.
All right, Nadim will knock on the door with one of his forearms.
You just hear, and clunk, as whatever tumbler was holding in the place, the door moves aside, and the door swings on its hinges. You see lots of shelves. No real organization making up what is on those shelves. As you look around, you see bits and bods. Various things, electronics, prosthetics, eyes, guns, armor, none of it in very good condition. In the middle of the store, there is a single desk. The desk has bars from the ceiling to the top of it and a small window that you might be able to pass goods through. On the other side of those bars, you see a rather large vesk, this lizard-like humanoid bent over, an eyeglass loop over one eye, helping him to focus on some fine work that he's trying to do on one of the droids he is working away on.
Yeah, I was expecting a bunch of goody-goodies, I assume. Those are the 4 of you.
As he looks up, what does he see? The 4 of you describe your characters?
Yeah, so Nadim's kind of in the forefront. He is a fairly... taller person. He's a Kasatha, so he's got a long, narrow, kind of bald head, light gray skin, and he's got 4 arms and a red scarf that's kind of wrapped around his mouth and neck.
Okay, I'll go. So Remy is very short, rat race, whatever that's called, Yusoki. Wearing pretty nice clothes, I would say. Probably didn't get them legally, I would say. She looks very, very intimidating for a rat. And she's probably standing, not like quite at the front, but also not at the back. So like more in the middle, I'd say.
Okay. So Spectre, is an android. He looks human, but his like quote unquote skin is a mix of like mottled green and gray. His eyes, his optical receptors are just pure silver. It doesn't look like he has any hair or fake hair, but he has a beige fedora. And he also has a zipped up leather jacket, and he's probably right in the back, avoiding the Vesk's eyes.
Jet is gonna be kind of a bit off to the side. He's human. He's got black hair and a beard. He's about 30s-ish, early 30s, but he has streaks of gray already on the side of his head. He wears sort of like a bluish jacket, blue pants, with a lot of pockets. And the jackets are kind of loose, a bit baggy on him. And around on his shoulder-ish is a floating orb with 2 tiny little arms that just sort of hovers around him. Also, one of his eyes looks a bit weirder due to his... He has a mechanic. What is it? His I put his custom rig in his eye, So one of his eyes looks a bit, has like a gray iris instead of brown, which is normal looking irises.
Nice. So he sits there and he continues to work away at what he was doing once having regarded you, turning back to his work.
What sort of droid is that?
It's, let me check.
And he turns it over in his hand, turns it back, goes,
oh, it's none of your goddamn business. That's what it is.
Very rude.
All right, asshole, none of you so fucking rude.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come to your house and be so mean to you in your own establishment. That would be really annoying. Oh, hang on. Oh, that's right. You're in my establishment, and you need something from me.
Do we recognize this vest as Jewel?
You do, okay. Yes.
We're here to get the Starfinder insignias that you've been trying to peddle.
He looks up at the Kasatha, and he goes,
finally, somebody who talks my language.
He takes out this cardboard box. It's slapdash held together with tape and various amounts of other things that make it into a squarish shape at best. He throws it and slides it underneath the window of the bars onto the other side. You see inside of it, there's something between 12 to 13 Starfinder insignias.
Where did you get these?
Oh, you know, here and there.
This crew went missing. Do you know their whereabouts?
Well, unless you're the crew, no.
Do you know who you got them from?
Maybe. Well, they understand your boss wanted some information, but I believe...
And he puts his thumb and forefinger together, rubs them.
That's going to be a little bit extra.
How much extra?
How much you got?
How much you taking? Not giving nothing until you tell me what you're taking.
Well, let's see. I got the info, and you got the credits.
And so, my question is how many credits you want for the info? Because otherwise, you get no credits for it.
That seems a fair price. Well, let's see. You're giving me some attitude. We'll say make it an even 10,000 credits.
I'm just going to look at... I'm going to look at Remy and just sort of be like... You talk!
I'm going to... Can I make an intimidation check?
You must first intimidate him to make that check. So tell me what you're doing. Tell me what you're getting at.
I'm trying to think if it would be a bad idea to pull out my gun at this moment in time. But it's tempting.
What do you think Remy would do?
I'm thinking Remy would probably pull out her gun. So I'm going to pull out my gun and say 1,000 or I'm shooting. Can I make an intimidation check?
Yes, you can. Absolutely, right. You can.
give
I would
me
like
one second.
To assist.
Here, boo. I will roll.
Listen to the rap, motherfucker.
Here, wait, can I roll in the roll 20 thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sweet, how do I roll slash... Okay, slash roll.
Yep, slash R space D20.
Yep.
E20. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, fuck. I have a plus 6 in Intimidate, though, so... That's a solid 13, I think.
So, he looks at you, and a smile kind of creeps across his face. And he's like,
I like you. I like you a lot. Fine. Give me 10, and we'll call it even.
10 credits?
We 10 credits?
Sure, I'll give you 10 credits, buddy.
And he, like, shushes everybody but Remy, and he points at Remy, and he goes,
special discount price for you, friend. But everyone else, maybe it's in your best interest to let the grown-ups do the talking.
That's so rude.
I'm sure that I'm older than both of you, but I will.
Easy, Synthoid. tucking down. You know what? Back to 10,000 credits. Yeah, that's
I'm just kidding. Okay. You know what? So he holds out his hand to Remy, looking for the 10 credits.
Okay, I give him the 10 credits.
He grabs it, kind of weighs the stick in his hand a little, plugs in a new machine, verifies that it's 10, slips it into his pocket, and he goes,
"You know."
And he scratches the kind of spikes on his chin that make up a pseudo lizard-like beard.
Come to think of it, I can remember quite a bit about this individual. Well, they were an Eoxian. Definitely a Humi, like your friend with the weird globe over there.
And he kind of nods over towards Jet.
But didn't blink, didn't breathe none. Skin was an off color. Pretty sure they weren't alive. I just know, and I just heard them saying that they needed bones of a sort to fix something. That's all I can seem to remember.
Where did you meet up with this guy?
Oh, he found me, friend. I don't do much traveling these days, not when you're as popular as I am.
Maybe we can bring that information back to Venture Captain Arvin and see if he's heard anything about it.
I concur.
Yeah.
Like a plan, yeah.
I wonder. Okay, so this is out of character, but my profession is dock worker. Would I be able to use that to talk to other people who are dock workers to see if they know anything about it?
Absolutely, you could. Because yeah, I mean,
they would
if you
know
work...
who's coming in and out.
Yeah, if you work around the station, you could definitely look for people. Do you have a culture?
I do actually. Well, I have. I'm proficient in culture.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll me a culture check. Actually, your time at the docks has helped you better. You're a little better informed about the going ons of the station than everyone else.
This is Absalom Station, right?
Absalom Station. Yep.
That's my home world too, actually.
Perfect. So I'll give you a little juicy +2 bump on top of that 7, just because. I mean, working at the docks, you've heard all kinds of things.
So this is a culture check?
Yep, culture check.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I'm going to use my fancy new space dice. Well, they're not new, but I haven't actually really used them. So. Space dice. I rolled a 5 plus
nice.
7 plus the 2, did you say? Or did you say there was a +2 on that? Or what was?
I did.
Yeah, plus so that two. Would actually... So it's 5 plus 9, so that's a 14.
Yeah, so you... You hear and like you think for a second and like you place a finger on your chin and you're like looking for dead bodies. There's one place on Absalom Station where they don't immediately incinerate bodies. Obviously being on a space station, everything's about efficiency and space. That's just kind of their go-to. But you have heard rumors at this place called the Vat Garden, which is run by a Yosoki couple. They take dead bodies and they use it to help fertilize their plants. It's not completely above board, but you know that they have some stuff worked out with police and they kind of operate on their own little system.
Is that a pun intended? Because they're Yosoki?
Because they're little? I don't think Remy would like that. I think Remy would shoot you in the head for that.
You insulting rats?
Do you know, there's a place in here that, what is it called? The Vat Garden, which might have bones, which we could check out. Know around it?
Think it's as good a place as any to start.
Yeah. There we go.
So, he kind of waves you off as you leave. Regarding only Remy, as you walk through the door closes behind you, and you hear that kind of chunk as it locks again upon your exit. You know where to go, so you take some time and you walk for a little bit until eventually you get to the Vat Garden. So go ahead and put your character tokens up in the north there. Ooh. On that walkway.
Going to roll 20.
On that roll 20.
Yep. Let's see.
While you're all doing that.
Character things. Oh, wait, hold on.
I'll read a little flavor.
There we go.
Oh, geez, I put my guy in the wrong. There we go. Somewhere over.
Wait, where?
Here.
Here.
There.
Right there. Here.
Okay. Do I place gear in there or not? I'm gonna assume
if you want to, but know that so gear probably acts as a familiar does. So if gear is out, gear is susceptible to damage. So if I see gear flying around, they have their own initiative, which follows your own. They can do their own damage, but they also have their own hit points, which means if they're targeted, they can be destroyed. So just as a heads up.
Gear has as much HP as I do, so Gear's gonna
GG be Gear.
Maybe good. I'm gonna currently be holding Gear in my arm, like comfortingly, because Gear is my friend.
So as you walk, the station passageways open into an enormous sunken pool, filled with a riotous growth of plants. A narrow walkway leading to the other parts of the down low encircles the overgrown vat, and a spire of some kind of machinery stands in its center. For such a busy section of the down low, the area is surprisingly quiet. Two ladders and a steep staircase pierce the foliage and lead down into the vat below.
And we don't see anybody around. It's just this.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
Okay.
Everyone can roll a perception check for me if you so choose.
Ooh, okay. I rolled a 2. The one day that I roll so badly, I got a 6.
Hey, I got a 2 as well, but I got a 7.
16.
16, and then do I have plus perception?
You can roll that in D20 as well. So if you do like D20 plus whatever your thing is, it'll add it.
Okay, so that's 16 plus 4. I didn't add my 4, but.
Cool, yeah, 20. Yeah, the rest of you are kind of, you know, put off by the whole thing. Looking through, you're about 15 feet or so up from this vegetation that's growing. Remy gets to the edge and takes a good hard look and can't quite make out anything down below.
Damn. I don't see anything.
I'm interested, so I'm gonna climb down there. So Nadim is going to climb down the ladder into this area with the foliage and this spire.
Oh, I'm gonna follow Nadim just behind him.
I'm gonna stay on the ledge for a little bit and then see what happens.
Looks like Spectre and as Nadim approach, you hear rustling coming from three of the different bushes. You see and hear various things. You can't make out anything because the growth is very, very dense. You can't see more than 5 feet or so into it. And you hear it coming as you come from the north to the west and to the east. And then you have that large spire in the middle. And then in the southwest, you also see that with the southeastern corner silent.
Okay. He's going to pull out his assault hammer and just be kind of on guard. And he's going to slowly and carefully start making his way toward down the path towards the pillar.
All right. Go ahead and roll me a stealth check.
Okay.
As you approach where you are.
Damn it. I know what that means.
Minis are coming out.
Out of the bush, this blue-skinned, long-tongued kind of ghastly form comes and tries to bite you. Everyone else, roll for initiative.
Boy,
Everyone else except me?
Well, you're going to be dead, so.
Oh.
Cool.
Burn it with fire. Burn it with fire. I got a 13.
All right, you can put in the initiative tracker.
Oh. How do I put it in?
You can just click on it.
Click on the number for your...
Whoa. Oh, dear God, that's a really high number.
Good God.
Oh, God.
I hate you, Alex, so much. It's a good thing there's no flat-footed in Starfinder, because...
Brilliant.
I did say I was prepared, so.
You did. You were prepared. But it looks like she's going to get to act anyways.
There we go.
Oh, it's a she. Perhaps.
No.
Okay. So, now that you all have plugged in, this ghoulish creature comes out and goes to sink its teeth into Nadim. That is a 7 against your KAC.
That's a miss.
That is a miss. Fair enough. As that happens, out of the bush to your west. Rather, out of the east. Comes another individual.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. 23
takes out her
initiative.
Hammer and swings. Stupid. 12.
Miss.
Dang it. Jet, it is your turn.
Okay. First thing, Jet is going... Okay, so would it be... If I let go of gear, I'm assuming gear automatically hovers.
Yes.
So if I let go of gear to grab my gun, then that should be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to make sure that I know... I'm trying to remember I can use gear as an... Gear is a separate action on my turn, I think, or...
Yeah, he has the same initiative as you. He doesn't roll for his own initiative. He acts after your turn.
Yeah, each round on your turn. Okay, cool. Gear isn't loaded. Oh, shoot. Okay, well...
Nice going.
I'm assuming I haven't loaded Gear's gun. Okay, I've got a backup plan if need be, but I'm going to take my laser pistol, and I'm gonna just sort of go and shoot it at the ghoul thing.
All right, go ahead and shoot.
Okay, so how to attack bonus would be my ranged attack, right?
Yep.
And then, okay. Oh, good, I finally rolled well in this dice. That's an 18 plus 3, so 21.
From where you're standing in all the deep shrubbery, it's awfully hard to make out what they're doing. Go ahead and roll me a D100, please.
Concealment, you bastard.
Questions. That's a 45.
You hit.
Hey!
So go ahead and roll damage.
It's only 1d4 burn. Okay. That's a 4.
4? Nice.
Nice.
And the burn is just a critical condition, for those wondering, so the burn only takes effect when you crit.
Oh, no, that is a critical, right. It is 1d4f, and then it's 1d4. Both are 1d4, so it's okay.
Yes, 2d4 plus burn when you critical.
Yeah, 1d4 fire for the f.
Ah.
All right.
Fancy. And
that
now it's...
more fancy.
And now it's
now,
gear.
Yep.
I have gear, so I'm going to... Gear has a speed of 30 feet, so I'm just going to... Just give me a second as I plop gear onto the map. Oh, gear can sit in between all these things. That's kind of neat. Whoa. Okay, well, I'm going to send gear over here. That should be... Gear will go over here and just currently float for now. So that I have a free hand.
Gear is going to vibe.
Gear will vibe.
Roll to vibe.
So it's playing Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, shoot.
Oh.
Gear has actually...
Oh, don't worry about it. That little guy, don't worry about that little guy.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about Alex measuring shit in D20. Or in Roll 20.
Another mercenary appears out of the underbrush, and I assume, because you didn't say gear, actually changed from that 15-foot height down into the underbrush. He is quite out in the open, and she's going to take a shot.
Yeah, no, gear didn't go down.
That is a 21 to hit gear.
Okay, well, that will hit gear. Yes.
All right, and it does 4 points of damage.
Oh, no.
Poor gear.
Dings gear. Nadim, no, it is your turn.
Nadim is going to turn. Can I roll some type of check to see what... So you describe them as mercenaries, the two.
Yeah, they look like they look really bulky, and they look
pretty like armored.
Yeah, they're intimidating to say the least. They don't have the same like colored skin. They don't have the same kind of like undeadish aura coming off of them when you look at them. They just look like normal humans.
Can I roll something about this like blue skinned creature that's there?
Yeah, you can go ahead and roll me, say,
life science.
Knowledge mysticism, actually.
Oh, I don't. I'm not trained in mysticism.
Then you can't.
Nope. So I'm just gonna attack him anyway.
So I'm gonna hit him in the face.
So I'm gonna hit him with my assault hammer. No, I will not. That is a 4 to hit.
That's a miss. Remy, it is your turn.
Oh, thank you. And I'm gonna take a 5-foot for my move action, a guarded step. No, it's a bad
idea. I do realize you just got flanked.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay, how do you measure in this?
So if you go to the little circle with the ruler in it, you can click on it, and then you can be like, I want to go over here. Now everyone's doing it, because I told you. So many arrows, and suddenly...
40 feet, you know what. Yeah, okay. Sure.
Okay. I'm going to try and shoot the ghoul thingy.
All right, go ahead and try to shoot.
Sure, okay. Is a 12 hit?
It does not.
Damn,
So you take a shot and it... Wait, actually,
EAC or KAC?
I think it's an azimuth laser pistol.
I think that's EAC.
It's a semi-auto pistol, so it's...
Oh, it's KAC.
Yeah, it's KAC.
Did you say 12, though?
Yeah.
That does hit.
It hits?
It hits.
Oh, sick. So okay.
They have higher EAC than KAC.
So does 1d6
PD? Got both wrong.
Oh. Roll that d6.
I think you rolled a d20 there.
3
points of damage. So you managed to hit the ghoul, boom, for 3 points of damage.
Bonk.
The slug thrower that you're using, such an uncivilized weapon, hitting it right in the shoulder. Spectre, it is your turn.
All right, well, my uncivilized gun weapon will pop out of the...
Well, actually, hang on. I'm sorry. Before that happens, Anna, go ahead and roll me a D100.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Missed chance, because you're still on the walkway.
There we go. 99.
Oh! Woo! Yeah, you still hit. It's good. That 99 definitely hits. All right, Spectre, it is your turn.
All right, my uncultured slug thrower is going to pop out of the quick-release sheath in my arm, out into my hand.
Ooh,
nice,
fancy.
Yeah, in my other with my other hand, I'm gonna draw my survival knife, and I'm gonna take a shot at the ghoul with my pistol.
All right, so go ahead and shoot.
I've got a 13 plus 4, so 17.
Go ahead and roll that mischance.
Oh right. I got a 68.
Yep, you hit. So go ahead and roll for damage.
Like, what do you have to roll not hit?
It's 20%.
I got a 1.
Yeah. So partial concealment in Pathfinder and Starfinder is 20% miss chance. So if you roll 20 or less, you miss, and anything above that, you hit.
Gotcha.
And okay, then... I rolled a 1 for damage.
Nice.
And a 1 for damage is what you dole out. You manage to just barely wing them on the side of the leg. It is the ghoul's turn. She tries once
Spectre
more to sink her teeth
in anger.
Into... What again?
Spectre beat boobs in anger.
Oh, beat boobs.
Oh, my God.
Boobs in anger. Wow.
It takes its hammer and it swings. That is a 16 against your KAC.
That hits.
So its teeth latch right onto you. And now I need you to roll me a fortitude save, please.
Oh. Well, I got 17.
So you take 4 points of damage, and you feel this venom start making your joints a little slower, and your muscles lock up, but you manage to shake out of it.
I was going
to
say, I failed that? That's like, walk away.
We're playing a level 15 one shot, right?
Excuse
me while I run away.
It is now the other thug's turn, the one that is closest to Nadim, is going to take a guarded step, and it's going to attack with their hammer. That's going to be an 18 to hit.
That hits as well.
They do 7 points of damage. Oof. Catch you in the back of the knees while all of your friends are just up there like, oh no, pew, 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 shooting from the top. It is Jet's turn.
Okay. Jet is very angry that someone tried to shoot his precious gear. Does he have range? Could Jet hit the mercenary in the back? Would he have view?
You could. They're so far away, and all the shrubs that you're shooting for, it would be they have full concealment. So you can take a shot if you'd like. But you have to roll a 50% miss chance on
50% miss chance. Yeah, no. Jet is smart enough to know when it's not worth it. This mercenary, though, is wide open, right? The one
they are.
Yeah,
they
okay.
Are they're wide open enough, but you're still shooting down into this shrubbery. And so you still have a slight miss chance.
Yeah, but if I move forward, would I not have the miss chance?
You have to move down into the pit. So they're 15 feet below you.
Okay, but if I went to here, I would then have...
Yeah, so you would be 15 feet down, and then it would be 5 feet out just to get on the landing there. So that's 20 feet. And you move quarter speed climbing. So it's going to... You can basically move halfway down the ladder one movement.
Jet's not going to do that. I'm just thinking through, like, what would he want to do in trying to understand where everything falls? No, he's just going to use his laser pistol and just shoot at the mercenary this time.
All right. Go ahead and take your shot.
Take this, you Danish. Oh, I rolled another 18. Wow. That was nice.
That's it.
That would be 18 plus. Awesome. It hits. And do you want me to roll the D100?
Yes, please.
Ah, ha-ha, that is a 10. No, wait, that was a 70. Never mind.
So, nope. Okay, yeah. Hit.
Those are way different.
wait a moment. that is 2 fire damage from my pew-pew-pew pistol.
So you managed to hit them for 2 fire damage. It is Gear's turn.
Gear is going to just pop over. I need to change. Pop over 1 and go down. How far down was it? 15, so that would
15
be
15 feet.
So that's 5, and then that would be 20. And Gear has full 30 feet move in.
Yeah, because he's hovering. He's not climbing, so he can move on that plane without any kind of encumbrance.
Gear is hiding in the shrub.
All right.
If Gear is hiding in the shrub, can Gear make a stealth check or not?
They are partially occluded, so you can do a hide action. Yes, you're welcome to do that. So go ahead and roll a stealth check.
Because Gear is good at being stealthy. That is a 4 plus 6, so that's only a 10. Not great.
Gear's right. Only half stealthy.
He makes beep noises as he goes down.
Like a truck backing up?
Exactly, yeah. It's like the...
So the ghoul and the mercenary at the top of the board in the northernmost portion that are fighting Nadim right now, they lose track of him. But the one that's all the way in the back, she was watching as he lowered, and she knows exactly where he is. So
oh,
she
dear.
Will more than likely close in. It is her turn. She's going to move to right there.
Oh, no.
And she's going to swing at Gear.
Oh, dear.
That is a natural 19
that hits.
For a 25. She's going to swing. And does 9 points of damage with her hammer, just coming down on top of this ore.
No.
Chakunk. Oh, hitting it. Denting it, I assume.
That completely destroys Gear, because Gear only had 6 hit points left.
Oh, Gear is fucking dead.
Yeah, no, Gear is broken. And I will need to go make a new droid.
you can repair him.
Spectre wants to avenge his fallen brethren.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry.
Now you've made him angry.
Oh.
Now it is Nadim's turn. Nadim, you just watch this person stream on by you, and you just hear this loud crunch come from the foliage next to you, not quite able to make out what's going on. This person just bit you. This other person just hit you with a hammer.
Yeah.
They are doing all kinds of mean stuff to you.
Nadim's angry. He's going to take a guarded step over here to try to draw them into clear line of sight. And he's going to swing at this mercenary, but... After being hit a couple times for some good walloping damage, you can see his body just like vibrating and like putting off this like aura. And he swings. That is a 21 against EAC.
That hits.
And does 7 points of acid and bludgeoning damage.
So it's, it counts as both.
It counts as both.
But it's not 14 points of damage. Yeah. Yeah, so you come down on this person, your body vibrating with this energy, and you just smack them, and it does a number on them. They're still doing okay, but they look much worse for the wear. Remy, it is your turn.
Remy's going to try to finish this bitch off. Yeah, she will shoot at him, I guess. So, that's a d20 plus 1, yeah?
It should be higher than that. It might be it is d20 plus 1. What's your dex bonus?
It's plus 1, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right, you're right.
Okay. It's a 17 hit.
Nice.
And you hit.
Sweet. Do you have to roll the d100 as well?
You do. So you shoot into the bushes and roll to miss.
Don't do it.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
I think I barely hit.
You hit. You manage to, it like goes into the bushes. It's not as clean of a shot as you want, but you manage to barely thread that needle.
Alrighty. And then it's a 1d6. One.
Oh.
I jinxed it.
You jinxed it.
Breaking through all those branches and stuff. It didn't quite do what you hoped it to do. Spectre, it is your turn.
Okay. Spectre is going to move down. Oh, wait. I need to switch my thing. Spectre's going to go down here.
All right.
And so that's part of a full action. He's going to he's going to attempt to make a trick attack using his survival knife.
Ooh.
Ooh. So Spectre disappears into the brush, and then his knife comes darting out.
All right.
To strike.
So what do you do for your trick attack? What is your chosen skill?
My chosen one, because I'm a ghost, I'm using stealth. So I have a massive bonus. The DC is 20 plus the target's CR.
Okay, so it's 21. Actually, no, it's 20 because it's halfway 20? Down. Yeah, it's 20 flat.
Okay, I got a 34, so I think I hit.
How did you get a 34? What is your stealth modifier?
So my stealth is plus 11 because I got plus 3 from dexterity. I've got one rank, so, and then another plus 3 because it's an operative skill.
Gotcha.
Because I'm a ghost, I immediately get, so my specialization being ghost, I get skill focus in stealth for an extra plus 3 to it. I have my plus 1 from operative's edge, so that's 11, but ghosts get a plus 4 bonus to stealth checks when they use it for a trick attack. So
you rolled a 19.
I have a plus 15.
Good God! You smack that mofo. So your trick attack will go through. So go ahead and roll the hit now.
Yeah. Just like
plus 15 30. At level 1.
Just like I got a 34 on my trick attack, and I'm gonna get like a natural 1. I did not get a natural 1. I got a 2, so 5.
Five. Oh, the nice. Trick attack was good. You managed to surprise him, but your knife just doesn't connect.
That was a full action, so.
Alright, so.
Angry robot noises continue.
Beep boop. The ghoul moves again to try and put down Nadim. Misses. Heftily misses. It is now that person's turn. Watching you try to trick attack, the mercenary is going to swing on you, bloodied and bruised and not doing great. 21 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
and that's going to be 6 points of damage. She brings her hammer right as you kind of go to stab at her. She catches you in the arm for 6 points of damage. Jed, it is your turn.
Jed is sad. Jed is very angry and very sad. And he's crying. He has tears in his face from the crack of his beloved drone being, like, taken down. And he's gonna... Oh, shoot. He can't move forward or else the ghoul will get him. So he's just gonna, like...
So that's a ladder there, so the ghoul can't... Yeah, so, I mean, you're on a 15-foot-tall platform.
You have the high ground, Annie.
I do have the high ground. Okay.
No, that's opposite.
Yeah.
I
have the high ground.
This mercenary... Oh, wait, I need to go to the right one to make it go blue, don't I? The mercenary... That mercenary, the one that my arrow is pointing to, would have the same
cover. The one in the west.
The one in the west would have the same cover as, like, if he's here.
So they're all slightly obscured. Yeah. So you move down the ladder.
No, I'm just gonna stay where I am.
Okay.
Blue-skinned creature obscured? He's in the path.
They're all obscured. When anyone on the walkway, they're obscured from.
Got it. Okay.
Jess just gonna like aim his pistol into the bush where the mercenary is and say, "Eat this, drone killer." Oh shoot, I did the voice wrong.
The voice was wrong.
Eat this, you drone killer.
You need to work on your comebacks.
I can't do it. No. Okay. Well, anyways, that's a 16 to hit.
16 hits.
Oh yeah, and I got a roll for coverage. Oh, that's a 69. So,
yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. And that's one.
One fire. You guys are just chipping away. The next group of Starfinders that has to face off against this group is going to do so well because they'll be so weak once you're all dead. So, good news.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're just going to TPK, reroll characters, and then start over again.
It'll be episode 2 is rerolling characters. it is now the mercenary that killed Gear sheaths their hammer and draws their gun, leveling it up at the walkway. That will be their turn. Nadim, it is your turn again.
I'm going to use my move action to put an entropic focus on to Spectre. And what that does is if he gets hit, I start gaining entropy. So like there's like a field around him and I'm like protecting him, not so much with like AC cover or anything, but with my mind, and then I get benefits from it. So thank you. So
I'm glad to be your punching bag.
Yeah. it's just if you get hit, I get empowered. So
So now you roll to attack Spectre, I assume, right?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna attack this mercenary that was the one I attacked last round. I'm gonna attack her again, not with my entropic strike though, just with my hammer. Natural 19.
That's going to be a juicy, juicy hit.
Yep. Okay. Ooh, 5 points of damage.
How do you do this, buddy?
He's got this big assault hammer in one of his four hands and just lands the blunt end of it just square right into her forehead and just smashes her down.
And so the mercenary goes down. Remy, it is your turn, unless you want to move into Deem.
I will do a guarded step up here.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, Remy, it is your turn.
Just to the noble.
Did Remy see the mercenary, like pull out their gun?
Yeah, she would have. Like, it's tough for you to hit them, but you can kind of make out what they're doing through the various obscuring leaves.
Oh, she runs. Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Full withdraw.
Yeah.
I'm going to move 4 times my movement speed away from this combat.
For those who can't see, Remy Adios. Just buffed it.
Okay, I'd have to roll like for 50%.
It's just 20% mischance.
20% now?
Yeah.
If I wanted to hit the mercenary?
Yeah, so they were really far away before, so that's what the 50% came from, but now they're closer, and you can kind of make them out.
I'm gonna shoot him. Is a 16 hit?
Yeah.
16 hits their KAC. You're good.
All right, and then I'll roll a D100.
Woo, really
hits.
Skirting that line. 22, 23, it hits. All go ahead and roll for damage.
A hit's a hit.
That's a 3.
There you go.
So 3 points of damage, so you manage to hit it. Spectre, it is once more your turn.
Oh. Okay. This time, I'm going to once again try and trick attack. I'm going to try and trick attack the strange creature. So I can do that with my pistol.
So all right, so that's DC 21 to hit that creature.
19.
Whoa. What? 19. Ooh, yeah, you missed your trick attack.
That's only to see if I get the bonus.
Yeah, so you still swing to attack, you just don't get the trick attack damage.
Yeah. Oh, and now I rolled a 19 plus 4. So
there you go. So you connect. Go ahead and roll damage.
5.
On that.
5 nice. Points of piercing damage.
5 points of piercing damage. All right.
Happy robot noises.
A success.
Well, no, I'm there. I was shooting with my gun.
Oh, you're shooting with your gun. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you're within 10 feet. Cool. So it is its turn. It will take a guarded step, and it's going to try and take out Spectre. It's going to be a 14 to hit against your KAC.
I've got a 15.
15.
Ooh. Oh! Just missed.
Oh.
She manages to grab hold of you, but your synthetic skin is just a little bit too beefy for her to bite through. It is now not her turn, Jet's turn.
Okay, Jet is still crying. Jet is shooting again. Jet doesn't care. Jet wants revenge.
Jet don't care.
For you.
Jet's angry.
Honey Jet Badger angry. Don't
care. That is a 15 to shoot the mercenary.
That is a hit. Is that against, that's against KAC?
It is a laser pistol.
So it's against EAC, yeah, it hits for
EAC.
Sure.
Okay. I only have a laser pistol, though. So.
That's good to know. Yeah, it's just normally when you roll, because I can't keep track of all your weapons,
okay.
You just say 15 against KAC or 15 against
good
EAC
to
just to help me keep
how would
straight.
I know if it's supposed to be against KAC or EAC? Because I didn't think about writing down the...
So if it shoots bullets, it's KAC because it's kinetic energy.
Okay.
And then if it's a laser pistol, then it's EAC. So if, like, if it's lasers or it has like a laser aura, things like that, EAC,
okay.
if it has
spells.
Kinetic force, yeah, spells.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it has kinetic force, like a sword or like a gun that shoots bullets, those are KAC.
How many shots have I taken? Because I'm trying to keep track. I did, how many turns have we done? I did 1, 2,
it's
I think
been
we're
like
done
four,
four turns.
Maybe?
I think we're on four.
This
turn
is on
four.
The fourth, yeah. I thought so. I was just making sure. I'm keeping track of how many charges I have left. Okay.
I'll probably do that as well.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll that mischance for me.
I got a 19.
Oh, you
19. And you shoot over their head. It is
Damn.
The mercenary's turn. Now with their pistol leveled, it's going to take a shot at Remy. That is a 14 against your EAC.
That's going to hit.
And they do 1 point of damage.
That could have been hit points for my stamina.
That goes to your stamina.
Stamina
that's
first,
sick, okay.
And then when your stamina's done, it takes away from your hit points.
Yep.
Sweet.
Starfinder.
All right, Nadim, it is your turn.
Okay. Nadim is going to do a full charge at this mercenary that's shooting. And he will invoke the attack of opportunity to move out of that space from the blue guy.
All right. So first... goes to bite you. 16 against KAC.
That is a miss.
What?
Because if I have a point in my entropy pool, uh-huh. I get +1 to my AC. So my KAC right now is 17.
You, you go murder that mercenary.
So I, as long as I move 10 feet in a straight line, I can do that with a charge. And then I get another point of entropy for charging. And then run, so runs up with the hammer and stop. Natural 18. That's a 22 to hit EAC.
That's a hit.
And 7 points of acid damage.
Kerchunk. You manage to catch her in the shoulder. She's looking bad, but up and fighting still. Remy, it is your turn.
Well, I think I'm going to take a shot at the mercenary again then. It's a 16.
That is a hit.
Sweet.
Against KAC?
Okay. Against KAC,
thrower?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then I'll roll D100 as well.
Yes, please.
Oh my god. This is like, this is giving me anxiety. Okay.
Oh my god.
22, 23, 21 on D100.
Pew, 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 pew.
Barely.
Roll for that damage.
Four.
Hey.
Remy, how do you kill this mercenary?
Remy's going to aim for the head.
The kill shot.
And like a balloon full of blood, it pops. And the mercenary Ka-chow. Falls. The lightning. It makes a Lightning McQueen sound.
I can't think of a better catchphrase right now.
That's morbid for a children's movie. Just like,
ka-chow.
Spectre, it is your turn.
I am going to do another, I'm going to try another trick attack. So I've got I've got a 30 on my stealth check.
That hits. That's good. That's tricky.
That's a trick.
It finally connects because I've got a total of 20. Because this is with my knife.
Oh heavens! I don't know how this is gonna work out for our weird blue
Betsy.
Creature.
I get to do because of my quarterback. I'm doing 20.
How many dice are you rolling over there?
I need to open
another
case.
10d6.
I have to open another case of dice. I do 6 points of slashing damage.
Nice. And you, well, why don't you tell me, how do you trickily murder this strange blue aberration?
Spectre's going to swing his gun up towards its face so that it doesn't even see the knife that comes right into its back.
Oh, nice. I like it. I like it. You added the trick attack into the little murder.
The trick.
And you find yourselves out Beep of battle. Happy robot Beep. Sounds.
And we're level 2. Take
no.
a break. Let's level up.
Oh, sick. Are we leveling up? That's excellent.
No, you were not. You're out of combat. You're out of your first combat. Everybody calm down.
Damn.
I like leveling up. It's so much fun.
I think leveling up is All very right. entertaining.
Oh, it's great.
If we level up, we get evasion.
What are you all doing as you're talking about something
not
that didn't
evasion.
Happen?
Jed is immediately going over and salvaging as much parts as he can from gear, because apparently as long as gear didn't get knocked down to like equal to, he didn't take damage while down equal to his hit points, which he didn't, I can build him up back up.
Okay,
he's
so
only
as long
damaged.
As he does- So as long as he isn't massive damaged, basically,
yeah.
That's called the massive damage rules. It's insta death.
Okay, it says most construct drones cannot recover damage on its own. A drone reduced to zero, it becomes inactive until it has one hit point. If it takes damage from a single attack equal or greater than its maximum hit points while it has zero HP, the drone is destroyed.
Okay,
all right.
How long does it take to rebuild that back up?
Your drone is ever destroyed or lost, so he's not destroyed and he's not lost,
yeah,
so
but to get him
won't...
like functional,
yeah. I will look into that and I will come back to you once I find that spot in the
what is everyone else up to while Jet, I assume teary eyed
oh,
blubbering,
yeah.
picks up the pieces of gear.
My good boy now.
My son! I've abandoned my son! My boy!
No, my boy!
Remy's gonna look, give a strange look to Jet.
So
that's
Remy's full action.
Like,
that's
it.
just a strange look.
What are you up to, Spectre?
Spectre, the mercenary that's over where I am, did they have a gun as well?
They did, so... you kind of rifle through the mercenaries' pockets. What they have on them, they have an assault hammer an azimuth laser pistol with a battery that has, because she didn't shoot, 20 charges, as well as a cred stick. You press the button on the cred stick to see the balance. It's 250 credits.
Hey-o.
I am taking that.
We're going shopping.
I am taking the cred stick. I'm also going to take the azimuth pistol. All
right.
And then after I do that, I'm going to go towards the machine.
I'm going to put a comforting hand on Jet. One of my four
there.
Comforting hands. And then also check the body of the other mercenary.
She seems to have a similar loadout.
Okay. But she took a couple shots, so her...
She did. So her. So she only has 17 charges in her battery.
Okay. I'm going to grab that because I don't have a ranged weapon. So I'm going to grab the pistol. And does she have a cred stick on her too?
Or she does. She has the exact same loadout as the other one. So everything I described before, she has that azimuth laser pistol, battery of 17.
And then what about the blue ghoul?
So as you rifle through the pockets of the blue ghoul, you see that she has flight suit station wear, another azimuth laser pistol with 20 charges, and a data pad.
Ooh, data pad. What is the flight suit station wear?
It's just casual wear.
Okay. It's not like a nice piece of armor.
It's not. It's like a jumpsuit, basically.
Okay.
That you'd see perhaps on someone who is a janitor or someone who's working out on the station underneath an EVA suit.
Okay. So Nadim's going to grab the data pad and start kind of thumbing through it, looking for...
It is locked.
Flappy Birds. No? Okay.
See if you'd sell on eBay for like $35,000.
Got Flappy Bird and Fortnite. It's a fortune.
Ooh, it's a right fortune. There.
Okay, it's locked. I'm going to reach down and grab the hand of the blue guy and put it on the pad to see if it unlocks.
It is password locked. You just like grab it and
I smash
it
into his face like six times. I'm like, unlock it. Okay.
The screen is now cracked.
No.
Still functional, but it's cracked.
Nothing like a cracked iPad. Okay. Okay. How many times before it locks us out?
I mean, it's just there. It's not a machine so much as it's just like a metal spire. It's a statue that's kind of been put there to adorn the garden. You see a list of names. You assume that it is bodies that have been donated to the garden to fertilize legitimately. And at the bottom, it just says the family name of the Yosoki that tend to it. As you're checking out this spire, you actually see two Yosoki appear down that western corridor. They kind of peek out from behind the corner, looking. They're in... Not intended, excuse me. Their whiskers kind of flexing as if they're some trepidation behind what they want to do. And they come down and they find you and are now standing next to you, Spectre, at the bottom.
Hello.
Oh, I see that you got rid of those whatever they were.
Yes, it seems as though they managed to dispatch them, dear.
If the tricky thing and the two armed people are what you were speaking of, then yes, we have.
They appeared out of nowhere, and I don't really know what they were doing. The strange blue one was digging up some of the skulls from the garden, and as she says that, you look over and you realize all three were like digging various holes, and they have been pulling skulls out. And there's like small piles of skulls that are all around the vat garden.
That's not creepy at all.
So,
very interesting.
Upon hearing this, Nadim's going to kind of approach Spectre talking with the two Yosoki. And do you know what they were looking for?
Skulls.
What kind of skulls?
The ones that are made of bone. You look and you see that there's all kinds, like the Ahsoki, you see like Lashunta, you see Vesk, like they just were looking for skulls.
Okay. I don't know if they were like digging, like finding something specific.
Without training in mysticism, you actually have no idea what they're doing, what they were doing or why.
Okay. Okay. Well, glad we could help you dispatch them. They were quite troublesome. I'm going to need a short rest.
I might think that they're looking for, like, maybe an implant or something that would be in a skull. Because I have engineering and I actually have a, my quick release sheath is actually built into my arm. So I think maybe they might be looking, maybe what I think they are looking for an implant in a skull.
It's tough to say. You could also, I'll let someone roll life science if they want to try that as well.
I have life science. I'm going to do that. Ten?
Ten. Yeah, you're not really sure. Anybody else have the life sciences?
Is there anything on?
I think someone has, like, a specialty in life science.
I have a rank in it. I'm better at physical science though.
I mean, you should still like, you can roll it for me if you'd like, because you're having this conversation looking at the skulls.
I have physical science, life science.
I mean, if you have the ability to roll it, it's usually like, especially if you're part of the conversation, it's usually good.
I have
to
piloting.
Yeah. Oh, I'll roll life science.
I have no science.
I got 12 plus 3, so 15.
15. So, Spectre, with your time kind of going from world to world, helping to document different places and kind of do these things, you have come across Eoxians before, which you're fairly certain is what that strange bluish-skinned creature was. You also have heard rumors, though you're not entirely sure without any kind of real concrete knowledge of the mysticism arts, that they use bone and technology for some sort of magic that helps propel and like contain their ships. And so you think that them grabbing skulls had more to do with wanting the material of the skulls to perhaps fix something or make something. It's tough for you to know, but that's kind of what you're gleaning from the situation.
Like just the calcium and whatever.
The bone specifically.
Yeah.
More so than the actual atoms of it. They actually need bone.
Bone.
Because they could get calcium anywhere.
Yeah. That's fair.
They are Eoxians. They may be looking for bone specifically. Just gathering skulls.
Well, a place that takes pretty much donated bodies to grow their plants, they have an abundance of bones.
And I mean, bones are hard to come by because everything is put into trash compactors or recyclers, or when they're like put into furnaces.
Absalom is burnt. Yeah, they cremate everything.
So it'd be it's a rarer material than you would initially think.
Might expect. I mean, maybe on a planet it might be a little bit more common.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just me metagaming.
Spectre's going to lean back to Nadim and say, didn't the Vesk say that he was visited by an Eoxian who related to the crests?
He did. Seems the Eoxians are behind all this.
They may well be.
And then Nadim's going to turn to the two Yosoki and ask them, when did they show up?
They showed up a few hours ago. We asked them what they were doing, and, well, they shot at us, so we had to run away.
It was very scary. My husband and I, well, we aren't the cleanest business, but we're doing our best to make our way as legitimately in this place as we can.
For only a couple hours, they've done quite a bit of digging. Have you seen anything else in this area?
Just that.
Do you mind if we looked around a little bit more?
Yeah, you can go ahead and look around.
Okay.
Sorry.
You can go ahead and look around. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so, Nadim's just going to kind of do perimeter sweep type thing and kind of take inventory, I guess, of the bones and types of... Because you said they were specifically, like, piling up skulls.
Yeah.
So there's something specific about the skulls, or is it just, like, that's what...
You don't know. I mean, your check's okay. Your check. You can't really figure anything else from that.
Okay, fine.
Inspector's gonna go...
Fine, Inspector's Alex. Gonna go see if
Kira's doing well.
Inspector cares for his fellow robot buddy.
Gear's been put in my... Jet has been packing Gear's bits into his back, but he's like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. 100 minutes, and we'll all be good.
This is so sad.
I know.
Tell me how to fix you.
100. So,
will Gear be okay?
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's not like it's anything new. It's just... Didn't get too badly beaten. Still got all the parts. I still got everything. And he'll be fine. But thank you. Thank you for your concern. It's touching.
Inspector did like an awkward shoulder pat.
There.
I'm imagining Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Exactly, Big Hero 6. Right. There.
But now what I want to do is I want to get Spectre on a low battery and see if he acts like drunk Baymax.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Hairy baby.
We jumped out of a window.
Such a good movie. I love that movie. It's so good.
Find it like what is it? The memory card and switch out the memory chip in him.
Kill mode or whatever.
Kill mode to, you know what? I'm sure Spectre has a hug mode somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly has a kill mode because he sort of murdered that one person.
Oh, yeah. So just so you know, for me to heal one hit point to increase my, well, it is one hit point. To increase their hit points by 10%, I need to spend 10 minutes fixing my bot. So to get them all the way back up to 10, I'm assuming there's a base of 0 from that.
He's at less than 0 currently.
Yeah, okay. If he's at negative.
So he's at like minus negative 3. So he's at it's negative 3. So to get him just like basically he's in pieces, large pieces. Like he has probably like a central core and like bits of his thing, but maybe his like ocular unit is off and like one of his hover jets is disconnected. So you could make him whole over 40 minutes or so to the point where you could get him hovering again and, you know, talking. But it would take you some time. And learning what you did and finding the data pad, this may not be the best place to be doing it.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I've been packing. Gear's been packed into my guy, into Jet's backpack because Jet has a backpack, which I bought on purpose just so that he has it.
In case Gear died.
He has a consumer backpack that has one bulk, but if used, it doesn't count, and it can fit two bulk in it. I read the book, and I wrote that down.
Nerd.
It seemed important at the time.
Who reads the rule book?
I don't know. Losers only read the rule book. And I'm definitely a loser. I already know that.
What's everyone else up to? Remy, what are you doing while this is happening?
Remy is probably just, I would say, checking out what's going on, I guess. She was, like, listening into the conversation, but, like, not really talking.
Right. They do have the data pad available as well, if anyone want to thumb through that. Cause...
Oh, I have computer.
Well, I thought the data pad was locked.
It is locked.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so, like, a computer's checked to... I don't have a computer, so I can't...
Yeah,
wait,
so to you, it's locked.
I am actually really good at... My custom rig gives me... I count as operating a computer engineering skill, basic tools for a computer engineering skill checks.
Perfect. So, yeah.
Theory. Oh, Nadim, and I have bypass.
You watch Nadim slamming this Eoxian's face against the screen to unlock it rather unsuccessfully.
I thought it was
and
a
you're
retinal
probably just
scanner.
Like, maybe give
it's
it
a retinal
to
retinal scanner.
Like...
Pass me. Don't break. Just pass me the screen over. Don't hit it against anything and I'll I'll take a look.
Go ahead and roll me a computers check.
Okay, so I'm just making sure that I know that I have all the benefits that I need for this. First level, I gain a plus one insight to computer checks, and yeah, that's all that I need. And I can use my custom rig, my eyeball custom rig piece to help me hack it. I don't know how that looks. I guess I just stare at it really hard and mentally try to hack it.
So I imagine, like, what you can do is from your eyeball, you can actually take it. You take, like, out the pupil, what appears to be the pupil, and you can hook it into the bottom, almost like an interface. That allows you to then interface directly with the system.
Sure.
On top of, I'm sure, giving you other benefits. But that
I kind of
start hacking.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of imagined his thing as, like, it's not actually his eye, per se. It's, like, a lens, like a Google Glass, but instead it's on his eye. I don't know if that's good or not.
Yeah, maybe like it reads you the specs and it tells you
yeah.
the best way to
it
like
tells
kind
me
of
the
bypass
best way
it.
To do it. Yeah. It
gives you a readout, like a HUD.
Mm-hmm. It goes ahead and it's like, I know your model number. The model number, this is a Type 5 tablet by Apple Core. I rolled a 19 plus 8, so that's a
nice.
27.
Though the screen is cracked. You manage to bypass it fairly easily. And you start kind of scrolling through the various files that are on there. A lot of it is kind of nonsense correspondence. You see Flappy Bird and you see Fortnite and you kind of keep going up. Then you see a much larger file. The file is marked Endless Threnody. You click on it and you open it and it's the readout specs for a ship. The ship is marked as an Eoxian ship, and it has a bunch of information about damage being done to it, as well as the coordinates for it.
Ooh. As a ship nerd, do I know
about... You roll me a piloting check.
Oh, a piloting check. Okay. Cool. That's a 12 plus 8, so that's a 20.
20. So you realize, looking at the coordinates, that these coordinates aren't for coordinates in space. They're coordinates for something in the drift, which is the extra planar dimension that you go to move between points in space at faster than light speed travel. And you assume that's where the ship is because, like, especially as a piloting nerd, like, you're reading through the damage done to it and, like, you see all these things and you realize that its drift engine must be damaged. And you know without a drift engine, you can't move in and out of the drift. So obviously they got into the drift, something happened, and they couldn't leave. As you continue reading, you see this report by something called the Loblight. And you kind of put two and two together, and you figure out that the Loblight was more than likely the ship that attacked them in the drift, kind of destroying them and leaving them floating, for lack of a better term. But they apparently were coming here to get parts for their ship. And like after hearing Spectre and hearing everything else, it seems that what they were doing was they were collecting the skulls to repair the ship. You don't know how they do that, but that seems to be what they were doing.
Okay. Is this a ship that I would have, like, is the model of the ship something that I would know the model of? Like, would I know?
You might know the base model of it, but due to the fact that it's Eoxian, it makes it a little bit different.
Okay.
So it looks like it's a large, heavy freighter as its specs, when you kind of look over the specs. But there's some weird things about it that the words you haven't heard before. Like, there's these various cores that it keeps mentioning and talking about, but you really have no clue what they're alluding to.
Okay.
You just see, like, necromantic generators and... You don't know what that phrase means.
Need to get me one of those. All right.
Probably not.
It's a fancy ship, and I... Okay.
Nadim is going to ask the Yasoki, when was the last time you had bodies donated to you, and how many?
Oh, I don't know. We kind of get one every week or so. Nothing out of the ordinary.
So there wasn't a big insurgence of donations that came in that might have drawn in the mercenaries.
No, but if they were looking for bodies, we're probably the only place on the station where you can find them. Save for the city morgue, but that seems a much more treacherous place to get in and out of, because they have real security, not just two little rats trying to make their way in the world.
This thing does seem to use necromantic stuff, so maybe that would make sense.
Well, we will donate the two mercenary bodies to your cause.
What about the ghoul?
And if the ghoul's usable, we'll donate him as well.
Ah, cool. Great.
And he just goes, we don't use the undead. Taints the plants, makes them worthless. But we appreciate it. We'll take the other two, though.
We will incinerate the fuck out of him, then.
All right, so you got the data pad, and it seems like you have some information that's pointing you towards this ship. What all do you want to do?
I would like to take a 10-minute rest, use a resolve point to get my stamina points back.
All right.
I would like to spend 40 minutes at minimum, if not more, working on my beloved drone.
Well, would you like to go back to the venture captain?
Yeah, we can go back to
Starfinder headquarters.
That would be a smart idea.
Or do you want to wait in this decomposing graveyard of dead bodies and murder?
You know what?
I mean, it's nice.
The atmosphere,
a lot of greenery.
Lovely. Yeah,
that's fair. No, y'all do you. Yeah. Let me just roll this d20 for no reason.
Oh no.
I think
we should return.
Yeah, I'm with Spectre.
Yeah, we should go to Venture Captain Arvin.
Yes.
So, you report back to Venture Captain Arvin with the newly unlocked data pad, and he scrolls through rather quickly. This is very interesting, to say the least. Well,
it's got necromantic stuff.
It seems as though it may be part of a fleet. And he goes and he tippy-taps on his computer a bit. And he's like, there's no doubt about it. They must be part of the corpse fleet. You see, Eoxians don't much care for the living, but they abide us because they care more for power and wealth than they realize working with us is more important than working against us. However, there is a contingency of the Eoxians called the Corpse Fleet that flies solely to destroy and dispatch those that want nothing more than to be alive. Ah, I believe that you may have to chase them down. And he tip-taps on his computer, and this kind of blue light halos, and this ship is turning in the middle of a table. And he goes, here, take this ship. It's the Lore Seeker. You can go find it over there in the place where you find chips. Hangar.
Nailed it. Hangar. That's the one.
The place where you find chips. Yeah. Ah, yes.
Ah, yes. I know that place.
And he's like, it will take you some time to reach these coordinates in the Drift. The Drift is a fickle and strange place, but it will take you at minimum 5 days, at maximum 30. Whatever happens, it's best if you leave immediately, because the longer we wait, the stronger the chances that they may fix their ship and leave. So please, board the ship. You'll find on there many things that you may need. Rations, a tool bench, things to get yourself prepared for the adventure ahead.
We appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
So as you all get onto the ship, the mechanic standing there.
Okay, quick, before we get on the ship, can I go and buy some more bullets?
Yeah, you can. So you all can do that.
Shotgun.
Buying a shotgun?
Buying a shotgun?
I thought you were the pilot.
No, I'm calling shotgun. All right.
You can buy a shotgun. You all can do that, and get everything kind of back to your stores ready and back to where you want to get. As you walk up, the mechanic leads you over to the Lore Seeker and hands the keys over to you. The four of you get on the ship. Jet sits down and looks kind of solemnly at the small shards of gear that he's waiting to put together whilst in the Drift. Gets an appropriate distance from the station, keys in the coordinates to the Drift engine, and you all disappear from the current space into the extra planar Drift.
colors swirl and you fly through, not entirely sure where you're going, but hoping that your coordinates are correct. And we'll have to see what happens next time.
Oh, we got a ship.
For now.
We got a ship.
Yay.
This is going to be rad. It's going to be a good time.
Hello, everyone. I hope you enjoyed part one of the one-shot with Alex and Paul from Four Corners Games. If you liked it and you liked this whole thing, please definitely check out the Four Corners Game podcast. They are awesome folks. They also have a shop where they sell dice trays. Also really interesting. Worth checking them out. Now, since I'm here, I might as well plug our stuff. If you liked this and you like us, we have a Patreon and a Discord. If you want to support us, you can go ahead and become a patron. By being a patron, you'll get special content, including bonus episodes, t-shirts, all kind of special stuff. I don't actually know the list off by heart right now, but one of them is access to episode 7. If you're listening to this, maybe you know episode 7. Episode 7 was one of the episodes that we messed up and only recorded my voice. And if you take the highest tier on Patreon, you get access to the full audio of episode 7, which was only me speaking. Kind of a novelty item, I know. But there are actual good things in there, including character backstories and also early access to the episodes when they come out. Now, if you like us, and also if you like the Four Corner Game guys, first of all, go ahead, check out the Four Corner Game group and their webpage. I am putting a webpage link in the description, so check that out as well. We have a Discord. You probably already know this if you've been listening to our content, but our Discord has a few things in it, mainly relating to our current podcast, but also the Four Corner Game guys are there. So Alex and Paul are in the Discord. You can talk to them because they are there. But also they have a little section there to advertise stuff. So all the people that we do these sort of things with, these cross promotions, get a little section in the Discord where they can advertise and talk about their stuff. So that is great. You can get updates on when the second one of these comes out by joining the Discord, because I'll be posting about it. Also, we have a Twitter and Instagram. The handles for those should be in the description, along with links to the Patreon and the Discord. You can go ahead and follow us. And also follow Four Corner Games. I'll put the link to their Twitter in here as well. So definitely follow them. Their content is amazing. And we can't wait for part two to be out. Because, it's good. Until then, see you next time. Bye.